It is February 9th, 2017. This is John Williams, and you're listening to another exciting edition of Mincing Rascals, a weekly podcast, portions of which are broadcast on my Saturday afternoon show at 1:30, but now on my Saturday morning show at 10:30 on WGN Radio.
I'm Steve Bertrand, the host of The Business Lunch on WGN.
Scott Stannis, editorial cartoonist with the Chicago Tribune, creator of the comic strip Prickly City, and I also do the Prickly City podcast right here on WGN+.
And I'm Eric Zorn, the persistent columnist for the Chicago Tribune. I appear on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays.
All right, that's it. I'm taking more time from now on.
Yeah, I wish you wouldn't, Steve. although, actually, I'm just going to scroll down here. What was the Elizabeth Warren hashtag? You said persistent. Is that where that comes from, Eric? Nevertheless, he persists. Is that what we're going to use for you?
That's right. That's my new hashtag.
Born on the 4th of July, Democrat businessman and the son of the late Bobby Kennedy, Chris Kennedy, is going to run for Illinois governor. Hooray, said who? He's got a famous name, is a known businessman and philanthropist, but he's not even worth $1 billion. Anyone want to handicap his chances for us? Steve Bertrand, what do you think about this guy?
Well, we'll have a Pritzker, a Kennedy, and a Madigan. Is that right? I don't know.
I don't think we're going to have a Madigan. No. I think Lisa Madigan is never going to run for governor.
Well, not as long as her dad is speaker and he'll never die. Apparently he can't.
There it is.
Because the undead can't.
Yeah, but what do we know about him, and do we think he's a good candidate?
Well, he's got chops, right? I mean, he ran the University of Illinois for a time. He was at the Merchandise Mart. He's got the Kennedy name, which I would imagine still helps with older Democratic voters. So, and he's the first in. That doesn't hurt either.
And he's rich. I mean, rich enough, anyway, that he could make sure he had enough money to counter probably whatever the incumbent's going to throw
in. He has a pretty good resume, it looks to me. I mean, in terms of his what he's done with his wealth, and he's got this whole food program where he gives boxes of food to the hungry and so on. He's not that polished a performer. I was watching a video interview of him with Marianne Ahern this morning, I guess the interview was yesterday. And they asked him about Madigan, and he kind of stammered. And I thought, you know what? That question, of all the questions that you knew you were going to get, that was one you had to anticipate, and you know, you didn't prepare for that. You got to be a little bit better out of the gate than that. On the other hand, it's so early that he's got plenty of chance. I mean, you look at bad campaign rollouts. Look at the Trump campaign, right? That was a hideous nightmare car crash.
It was the best.
Although it was the
ever.
Best. He did use the best words.
By the same token, he was on WGN Radio as well, and I was struck. I mean, that's an excellent point. You should have a Madigan answer. But I was struck by, I don't know if eloquence is the right word, but he certainly could turn a phrase and convey a concise thought well.
Yes.
We've been lacking that, too.
I'm not at all writing him off.
No.
And I think some of his messaging about Rauner was strong.
Yes.
You look back, there was this business at the convention. Remember, we ran into the elevator and the reporters followed him in. And he goes, leave me alone. You know, just one of those things where I think he's going to find that the campaign trail is pretty rough. You remember Bill Daley announced he was going to run for governor.
Right.
Was that 4 years ago or was that 8 years ago? Whenever it was. And then after a few months, he went, hey, this sucks. Get out of this. So that could happen with Chris
Kennedy. You have to go to Cairo. No one deserves that.
Because he has. Chris Kennedy has flirted with the idea of running for a while.
Well, that's the problem. I wanted to ask you, is that going to be an issue? Because it was one of the first editorial cartoons I ever drew for the Chicago Tribune. It must have been 11 years ago. And he was thinking of, or 12 years ago, and he was thinking of running for whatever office was open then. Senate, I mean, he's talked about running for governor, attorney general. He's talked about a number of offices.
What you're saying is it wasn't a rash decision.
This time?
Right? He thought about it.
No, he took a decade to tap dance.
What was the point of your cartoon?
My point was that up to that point, he had kind of, teased about running for, I think at that point, like 5 or 6 different offices in the state. So, you know, now that he's finally looks like he's pulled the trigger, there's a logo, so he has to run, right?
he's got a campaign apparatus in place. And I wonder what this does to J.B. Pritzker, who's the other ultra-wealthy Democrat who's been...
I think it kills him, don't you think? I mean, seriously, because I think the Kennedy name, anytime that jumps into...
And they're sort of in this, if you want to lane it, they're kind of in the same lane, right?
Yes.
Wealthy, sort of outside the political mainstream, well-known name.
Pritzker ran for Congress in 98, I want to say.
And
did not do well, although, you know, I don't know that much about him.
He was one. I live in that district at the time. I don't know if he was one of about 10 people running, yeah, and didn't do well.
Is this are we also entering a new era where people run for the top office state in nationally who have no experience in elected office?
Well, that's
apparently
kind of what
we
I'm
are.
Wondering about. We're kind of doing his resume here, and I guess it's too early to know, but so what are his tax plans? What does he think about education? How's he going to dig us out of debt? I mean, does he have
Oh, he's going to lower our taxes. He's going to educate our children and stop crime.
Fine.
That worked for the White House.
Yeah.
In his defense, though, he did for a time run the University of Illinois system, which, you know, involved education certainly and involved state politics and budgeting and all of that. So he's not a complete novice to that.
Things did not
didn't
go
do
all
that perfectly
well.
Yeah.
It wasn't perfect. No.
Exactly. Let me ask a second follow-up question of this to you guys, because I'm a certain age, as Eric is close to my age, I think. I'm a little older. But anyway,
no, you're a little younger.
Am I? Okay, I'm 57. So is does the Kennedy... Shut up. and I still have my own hips. It's incredible. Is that something that someone like me would go, wow, you can't beat a Kennedy. Not going to happen. Does that resonate...
The first two things that jump out at me on his candidacy are very rich and Kennedy. And boy, in Illinois and Chicago, those are two very helpful assets. But maybe we're showing our age here, guys.
I think we might be. Because
but older people tend to vote, too, right? I mean, I don't think it resonates with my sons, the Kennedy name, although it might a little, but not like it does to me, not like it does to my parents.
Yeah, I don't think Chris was not – he was born on the 4th of July, I think, in what is it, 1964? So he was born after his famous uncle was assassinated, right? So he after that, after Camelot was
right.
over. So really the association that most people have who are not – as superannuated as Scott and I am, it would be with Teddy Kennedy, who was a liberal lion of the Senate, but not exactly the
or his father Robert Kennedy, or just there's a romanticism with the name. I think that it doesn't, as aside from one specific Kennedy.
I mean, the bottom line is I like his chances in the primary. I don't think, especially if Pritzker stays out. I think Amaya Pawar is an interesting guy, but I don't think he's ready to be governor. I think Dan Biss is a really smart guy, state senator from Evanston. I think he's got a lot of the tools, but again, I don't think he's going to have the money to run against a Kennedy. Who else
or
are we talking about? I forget all the other names that have been floated. Quinn has talked about running again.
Sorry.
Well, you as a cartoonist, you must be just.
Well, I know how to draw them, so that's that part's easy. Now, does Pritzker in this state, does Pritzker have more gravitas? Does the name have more gravitas?
No. But
Pritzker's one of those names that a few people really, really, really know, and I think most people don't. I mean, you hear the reference to the Pritzker family, but it's not like the Kennedy family or the Madigan family or the,
Right, but I think we have about an equal understanding as to who these guys are politically or how well they would be able to corral Mike Madigan or beat the Republicans or do anything that the governor's supposed to do. I don't know what his plan we have no clue which of them would be a better administrator or negotiator on the state's behalf.
Well, but again, it's so early to tell. I mean, I want to see how he runs his campaign first. I want to see how he does in primary debates. You want to see how he does if he makes it through that, how he does in the general election debate. It's way too early to decide whether he's a bum or not. I mean, I think...
Well, they're all bums. Eventually, we'll come to that conclusion.
I would say that, from the little I know of the guy, I think his chances are pretty good at all. Of course, it all depends on what happens in spring field in the next couple of months, but I think people are going to be hankering for something to happen down there. I don't think that if we have this stalemate is still going on that they're going to be all that enthusiastic about Rauner saying I'm going to shake up Springfield in my next term. I promise I'm going to this time.
Yeah, so. It does make me wonder why any of these people who have achieved such success want to be governor or mayor president. I just, do you think the Trumps are having fun right now? Do you think the Rauners are having fun right now?
I think the Trumps are having fun.
I don't.
Do you,
think they are
really?
No, Eric does not think they're having fun. Eric's having fun, but I don't think the president is. Let's just stay in the state, and then we'll go on to the national scene for a second. So the Republicans and the Democrats at least seem like on a few bills they were able to kind of cobble together some sort of consensus and maybe build a little more momentum towards a state budget. But I'm not very optimistic about that. Are you guys?
No.
No.
I'll tell you why I'm not. This has been so hard in the Senate. John Cullerton and Christine Redonio, the Democratic president of the Senate and the Republican leader of the Senate, came into the editorial board a few weeks ago to present their plan for this grand bargain. And they are two very reasonable people, and they're two people who really it seemed like they could talk to one another. They seem to genuinely like each other. And they seem to be trying to move together. And even then, and it's just in one chamber, this effort to put together this Jenga tower of bills has apparently fallen apart. Now, of course, when we're recording on Thursday morning, maybe I'll be shamed by some great compromise passage later this afternoon, but I doubt it. And then they're going to have to get it through the House, which is a really tough sled because it's run by Mike Madigan, and if he doesn't like it, it ain't going to pass. And so you've got all these people who are worried now in the Senate about casting votes for tax increases, for anti-union measures, for this whole package of stuff. They're worried about casting votes that will absolutely do nothing to solve any problems because they'll die, and then there'll be votes that'll be used against them. So that everybody is very concerned about that. And then you've got Rauner on the sidelines, kind of vaguely saying, oh, guys, go do a compromise.
I don't want to get involved.
I'm just the governor. What do you want?
I'm hoping for the best.
Do you guys think that's an abdication? Because
yes, I do.
Chris Kennedy said that's you're supposed to lead. If you're the governor, you're supposed to jump in there and take out a stand. But maybe Rauner's right to just be on the sidelines and say, you guys bring me what you can and I won't further complicate it.
That's not what
many cooks in the kitchen, Eric.
He's got to be that top chef, if I may continue to use your metaphor. He's got to get in there. He's got to be working with his caucus and telling him what he wants, what he will sign, assure them that what, and maybe it could be he's doing this behind the scenes that we don't know, but he keeps saying he's got his hands off. He's got to tell them, what can I support? What's my must-have? This can all be done behind the scenes, but it's got to be done because these legislators are relying on him for money. They're relying on him for everything. I mean, he is the guy. He runs the party, and he runs the government and from the Republican side. He's got to be leading.
Well, and both sides seem to be trying to run out the clock, which to me is bizarre given that it's going to be 4 years by the time 18 comes around. And we won't have a budget for four straight years.
18 is already here, according to the TV. They're doing their logos now. Decision 2018.
Really?
Yes, it's unbelievable. It's like how did this happen?
When they have the theme song, it's all over.
Speaking of Illinois politics, at least two state representatives have proposed that we have a Barack Obama state holiday. It'll be our 13th. It'll be a paid holiday for state workers.
Oh, good Lord.
And it will be celebrated on his birthday, which is in August.
We need a holiday in August.
So what do you guys –
Who wants to take a day off in February?
Defending it, they said, hey, the kids won't be at school, so that won't be an issue. It's not like the teachers won't have to go to work. They won't be at work anyway. But do you guys like the idea of a state holiday celebrating Barack Obama's birth?
Well, I can tell, by the way, Scott recoiled in his chair that he hates the idea.
Of course.
And I will let him speak first, and then I will.
He'll correct him.
Thank you.
No, I mean not correct him, but his reaction was so visible.
It's preposterous, because you don't – it's a ridiculous idea, first of all. Why? Because he was from Illinois. I mean, we have Lincoln's birthday sort of all mashed into President's Day. We don't have Ulysses S. Grant Day. He was ostensibly from Illinois. We don't have
Ronald Reagan Day.
Paul Simon Day. We don't have a Mayor Daley Day.
We don't have Adlai Stevenson Day. I mean, this is ridiculous. No,
California has a Reagan Day, but keep going, Scott.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. Dan Rostenkowski Day. Well, what are you guys talking about? He's the president of the United States. Okay, we don't have a Reagan Day. I agree that it should not be a state holiday in terms of like giving workers a day off. I think they ought to have a day on the calendar, like an Arbor Day or whatever, and they should acknowledge the president's birthday at summer camps or whatever's going on.
And they could do that.
They could do that.
Doesn't one of the bills do that? It doesn't make it as...
We have a state square dance. We've got a state soil. We can have a day where we honor...
Hey, lay off the state soil.
Okay. Well, I mean, I went to square dance first, which is something dear to me. So,
you know what we should do, though, is do for him what we do for all of our great leaders. We give them the worst spot on a highway system and say, this will be how we remember you. You've got Reagan, and you've got the Jane Byrne.
You've got the Stevenson.
The Strangler out in the western suburbs?
Hillside Strangler.
They could rename that for Obama. No, my proposal was that they should rename Hutchinson Field in Grant Park for Obama. That's where he gave his victory speech.
Oh, that's a nice idea.
Who the heck was Hutchinson? His family can go pound sand.
Well, he's going to have a really big library. It's not like anybody is not going to know that Barack Obama was from Chicago. If I were him, and I'd say, okay, I could be one of like 100 things the state already recognizes, like the state spider, and then, oh, there's Barack Obama Day, too. I don't want or need that. I'm Barack Obama, and I am going to have this world-class library.
But I agree with Eric. I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with the city doing something to commemorate a home run. I mean, first of all, also first African-American president. That's not insignificant.
Sure. Yeah.
And Hutchinson Field's a great idea.
Yeah, it is.
That, you know, also, remember there was talk about renaming Stony Island for somebody. Well, 10 years ago, they wanted to rename Stony Island for Bishop somebody or other.
And yeah. Oh, yeah, I do.
But, you know, taking a place, we've renamed King Boulevard. What was King? Who was around before that? I don't remember what King Boulevard used to
Martin
be.
Luther King Boulevard? I don't know. But I do think it is sad when you see Malcolm X College or some of the things named after great black leaders in this country, and particularly in this city, and they are roads and community colleges that are not in great repair. You know, I drive by Malcolm X College sometime and see the lights aren't all lit up, and I think it's almost apt, but a sad commentary on the legacy of some of these great people. You know, it's too bad that their namesakes are either in poor parts of town that have not evolved, and they're not well maintained.
Yeah, I think we've got a consensus here for 4 no votes for an official state holiday.
State holiday, right.
Well, not a paid one, that's for sure.
So at least we're getting something done here.
Well, then let's move on.
How about Cicero Avenue? That'd be a good one.
I'm moving on now to
Romans be really pissed.
Donald Trump presidency and the week that was.
Maltese.
I started to type out all of the things that I thought, well, let's just hit the highlights of this past week in Washington, and I didn't have enough room on the page. But maybe the biggest of them was the immigration ban court battle. And where that is right now, as we record this, we don't know exactly what that 3-panel judge is going to decide. But what did you guys think of at least that hearing and where that story is right now?
Well, you know, it's there's danger in predicting. And by the time most people are listening to this, thank you, we could have the ruling from the appellate court. Most people seem to think it's going to go against the Trump administration. But I think those same people acknowledge the Supreme Court probably will see it the president's way.
Right. Right. Well, oh, really? I'm sorry. I thought you were about to say, Steve, that most people agree it'll go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and I don't know, boys, you tell me. Don't most scholars think that the president has the authority to do this? I mean, it's more of an uphill climb at the Supreme Court than it is at the appellate court.
Well, I just think along partisan lines, if it'll be a 4-4 split, it would go back to the appellate court.
Well, you sound like Donald Trump. It's not a partisan decision. There's an independent judiciary.
These so-called judges.
How dare you, John
Williams? I'm shocked that these are political appointments and that they do have a certain ideology they hew to. He can't get over that. Him of all people, he doesn't see. This is news to him that there's politics in the Supreme Court. Go ahead, Scott or Eric. What else do you think about this?
No, I agree with. Well, getting back to the Trump reaction, I mean, I think that a lot of things surprise him about the United States government. Does the president have the authority to have these restrictions coming from these countries? I have to think that he probably does.
It seems to me it's a constitutional decision about discriminating based on religion.
No. You think it is about religion?
What do you think it's about?
Well, I think the way it was...
Argued?
No, not the way it was argued. I think that the fact that a minority of Muslims in the world are impacted by it, that it's not a Muslim ban. I very much do not like the fact that Christians get an easier way in than Muslims do from this country. I think that could be trouble for him. I mean, you know, there are certainly Muslim minorities who are absolutely being tortured and pressured, who are not going to have the pass that Christian minorities are. And I think, you know, that could be the weak spot in his
argument. Well, Sunni minorities and Shia territories,
exactly.
and the opposite.
And they're not written into this. It's only the Christian minorities.
Yeah, my sense of this is that the president does have this authority and that the rollout of this was so bad And, you know, it included the, you know, the green card holders and the visa holders. And it was
waiting for life-saving surgery.
It was just so clumsily implemented that it got everybody's back up and that people were able to find these faults in it. I think that what the Trump administration ought to have done is just like, okay, look, we're going to pull this back. Give us a couple of days. We're going to run this by the right people. We're going to come back to you with something that's a little less draconian, that hits the targets that we wanted to hit. I don't really have that much of a problem with the seven countries that they named. They seem defensible, right? They may not be perfect, but they are countries that have been identified as places that the vetting is not as good as it might be. I can see that. I think he's got the right to do it. And again, with separation of powers, I think that you have to. The president gets deference here, but I agree with Bertrand's prediction, which is that I think that the Ninth Circuit is going to uphold the TRO. And then it's going to go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court, it's 4-4, but Kennedy's on the 4. Democrat side, right?
I'm going to disagree, just back up a little bit and say that I disagree with the list, too, because the countries where, shocker of shockers, Trump Industries, or whatever the hell it's called, has connections is Saudi Arabia and Egypt. Now, 19 of the terrorists of 9/11 were from, say it with me, kids, Saudi Arabia and Egypt. So if there's there are problem states that we need to maybe ratchet up the vetting, those would certainly be high on my list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no kidding.
I can agree with Scott that maybe the countries aren't the seven countries that I would have chosen or that he would have chosen, but that the president does have the right, the constitutional authority to make that decision, and as long as he's making it for non-religious discrimination reasons.
Yeah, but yours, okay, go ahead. What are we going to say, Steve?
I was going to say, I think this country is in a ringer for a policy and a situation that no one believes in. I mean, I could be wrong about that, but it just seems to me that the Trump administration is doing this because they said they would, not because they sincerely think it's going to make anything safer, or by not doing it, we'd be less safe. There already is, quote-unquote, extreme vetting from these countries. I just think he's fulfilling a campaign promise rather than doing something he truly believes in, and we're all spinning out of control for it.
Well, I also think he's a bully, and this is a group of people who can't stand up to him. We had someone on Patty Vasquez's show the other week, and he was a physician, and nationalized American citizen. He went to go see his mother, who is very ill, and flying back, it was a nightmare. I mean, it took, I think it was 36 hours to get into the country. This is an American citizen. I mean, this is how badly thought out, for one individual and one example, how badly thought out this policy was.
Well, it was put to me that you can discriminate against Muslims without having to discriminate against all of them. If the people you are discriminating against based on their faith are from seven countries, but people of the same faith from other countries are able to get in, that doesn't mean that you aren't discriminating against those people based on their faith. And I was told that the justices will be able to consider the president's previous remarks and tweets. Remember, he said an all-out ban on Muslims until we figure this thing out. He has been on that message all along and really hasn't strayed from it. So it seems to me like it walks like a duck and that this is a religious ban. But I'll let the Supreme Court try and figure that out. What did you guys think about Elizabeth Warren speaking on the Senate floor and then being shut down because she was reading a Coretta Scott King letter?
I am so going to have my conservative card revoked this week. I'm agreeing with Eric more than I should. It was preposterous. It was she was reading this into the record. The letter strictly talks about, and I've known Jeff Sessions for 20 years. He was the Attorney General of Alabama when I worked there. So we used to call him the Keebler Elf because he looks like he lives in a tree.
You didn't need to explain that. We all get that.
Well, I never thought about that, but that does work.
Really? Yeah.
Also, intellectually, it kind of works, too. He knows how to make the cookies. So I know the guy, and I know the context of of what Coretta Scott King was talking about. You know, is he a racist? He's not. Is he? He fought and got rid of the last official vestiges of the KKK in Alabama, and so as Attorney General, he had other. I mean, he's kind of a traditional black dog Democrat, or red dog Democrat. You know, I mean, yellow dog Democrat. It's one of those colors.
Blue dog.
Well, now it's blue dog. Yeah. It used to be yellow dog Democrat. So And what she but the thing is, what she read was so tame.
And it was already in the congressional record, right?
Yes. I mean, in fact, later, another senator read the rest of it into the record without retribution. So this was just, Mitch McConnell.
Why do you think
Mitch
they did it?
Because
why
Mitch McConnell is an idiot. Mitch McConnell, you know, is truly and profoundly stupid. Think about his first comments after the swearing in of Barack Obama.
Eric, I see your work here is done.
Well, no, I mean, there's a contrary point of view, which is that McConnell is playing chess at a different level here, and he wanted to increase the profile of Elizabeth Warren. That Elizabeth Warren became a folk hero overnight over this. I mean, she's
I've
already
heard
pretty
this
well
theory.
Liked, yeah. And that you know donations poured into her campaign coffers. That he wants and Trump wants to run against Elizabeth Warren in 2020.
So they're setting her up. They're pumping her up here so that she'll go, wow, they like me and I'm going to run again. This is a four-year play,
Do you
Eric?
Remember? You know what? There was another political party at one point that thought they had a perfect candidate to run against because that candidate was going to be unacceptable. Like, I think, oh, which party was that? Oh,
okay. Think Elizabeth
what,
Warren
but
is not
you know
gonna,
what I'm saying is that
hope,
you know don't you, no. be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, if you're,
because
well,
I think
nobody's who said we're wishing for that.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying if you're Mitch McConnell and this is what you're hoping for, you should be careful what you wish for because Elizabeth Warren is a strong speaker. She's really
well
liked on.
She's goofy.
Well,
she's goofy. Well,
I don't know how goofy she is. She's strong. She's fringe, but she's also a powerful and well-spoken woman who the Senate Majority Leader said to sit down and shut up.
Basically, yeah.
And that is not going to play well.
First when time that rule has ever been invoked.
2 weeks after you had millions of women around the country and the world marching.
Isn't that amazing?
You know, it makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, and she, you know, you see she's goofy, but she is populist and she's very well spoken. She argues with a passion that Hillary Clinton was never able to muster.
Okay, did you guys meet her when she was up here? She was up in the Tribune newsroom maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
No,
you weren't. I think she had an editorial board meeting with you guys. But anyway,
yeah.
The radio station was up there as well, the newsroom, and she just popped into every room. I mean, we were doing newscasts, and boom, here comes Elizabeth Warren
stealing
with her
staplers.
Hand out. Hi, I'm Elizabeth Warren. Hi, I'm Elizabeth Warren. I mean, she's just a force.
I'm such a sucker for a personal narrative, and the beginning of her book talks about her childhood. And her mom and her dad.
On the reservation?
and it's it'll it brought me to tears when I read it because I think she comes from a good place. I think she's sincere. But I just cannot imagine. We're going 4 years out here for Elizabeth Warren, if that's the point of this conversation. I just do not see middle-of-the-road Republicans or many middle-of-the-road people who went to Trump, for God's sakes, to come all the way back over to Elizabeth
Warren. I agree. I cannot. And I don't know that. I think we're giving the Trump-oids way too much credit. I can't imagine they think that far in advance. But to be fair, he's already announced and already formed a campaign committee for 2020 for re-election.
Is that right?
So Trump has?
Yes, he has.
I've been sitting here for 20 minutes with my Ivanka Trump earrings on. Are we going to talk about this?
Okay, go ahead, Steve. Go ahead.
Well, so, you know.
And they look, they really bring out the gold in your eyes.
I wasn't sure which ones to wear. Did I choose the right ones?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you. So, you know, Nordstrom announced that it was dropping. And I thought there was another chain, too.
Yeah.
TJ Maxx.
Was it TJ Maxx dropping
well, they're
her?
They're going to. TJ Maxx and a couple of other stores are going to pull their in-store displays, but they'll continue to merchandise her stuff.
So Donald Trump tweets out against Nordstrom, you know, saying that it was unfair in all of this. And then I guess the POTUS account retweeted his tweet,
that's true.
Which makes it even more official. And which begs the question, I would imagine he's probably got money in her company. wouldn't he?
Oh, boy, I hadn't even thought about it that way, Steve.
Okay.
I just think it's his name. It's his daughter, who we all know is his favorite, and he can't tolerate somebody not being good to her.
Well, and so he's using his account to benefit a family member's business. And even more so, Kellyanne Conway on Fox and Friends, I think it was on Thursday morning, said, I'm going to do a commercial for Ivanka. Go out and buy her stuff.
She literally said
basically
that.
Basically, quote, go out and buy her stuff.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not a lawyer, but reading the lawyer's reactions, that's a pretty clear violation of, if not the policies of the executive branch, of laws.
It's the ethic of it all. It's just so unseemly. It's amazing because, you know, you'd think somebody would pull him. I mean, in the alternative universe, they go, hey, listen, we've got this whole thing about you being a businessman and not divesting yourself enough while you're president, so don't go down that road. And then he tweets to the world and has Kellyanne Conway double down, saying just because Nordstrom pulled his daughter's stuff, it's either unfair or we should all punish Nordstrom and buy his daughter's stuff. That's amazing. It's exactly what he shouldn't be doing, but that's always worked for him. So who knows how this is
now. My
shake
wife
out.
Is going to say she's got to go to Nordstrom this weekend and do a lot of shopping in order to support Nordstrom. And what can I say?
Yeah, poor Nordstrom, right? I mean, there you are, just trying to sell jewelry and shoes. You decide to pull the president's daughter's brand because it's not performing that well, and now you're in the middle of a controversy.
Could they not have done this a little more quietly? I mean,
Nordstrom.
Yeah, I mean, why not just, you know, kind of quietly do it, and then if they make a stink of it, say, hey, look, we're just, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it does seem a little political that we would find out about it, that it would be a statement. It's just, you know, I'm sure lines of product come and go all the time.
They may well be being hurt by it commercially. They might be suffering for selling
political.
This land.
Right.
But that's
no,
okay
it's not.
It's
economic,
political.
Eric. It's not political.
I see what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah, if they're losing business because of it, they're not losing it. They're not pulling her because they don't like her dad's policies. They're doing it because they're losing money. And if saying it publicly helps bring some of those customers who are boycotting them back, that's an economic, that's a business thing.
Sure, Steve, but it may be so why would Nordstrom do it? Either because she's performing badly on the shelves.
People were saying
or maybe it's the same, but having the Trump name in your store is bad for you. For whatever reason, if a business wants to cut ties with you, that's their prerogative.
Right.
And, you know, who cares if she's selling well or not? It still may be hurting you in the long run. It's not like they don't sell other things.
I think there were boycotts in San Francisco or calls for it or things like that. So, I mean, I think that's probably why they would be public about it, but to, you know, call off the dogs in that way. But, I mean, my concern's the wrong word, but, I mean, does this start to open up a crack in the legalities of what's going on in the White House? Because usually they say it's the White House counsel who would investigate Kellyanne Conway's statements. I don't know that will happen.
You mean the Attorney General?
No, I think it was from what I said, because it was an executive standard.
It would be the White House
counsel.
Oh man, I don't know. It's just unseemly. I think I'm not sure about the crossing a legal line.
It's pretty clear.
Kellyanne Conway has every right to go out and say, "I'm going to go buy Ivanka Trump's stuff."
No, she doesn't.
She?
No, she doesn't. Not according to what I read. It said that, and I'm sorry I didn't bring it in, but it said, you know, executive branch cannot endorse a company.
That certainly makes sense.
Of family or friends. Or Fox and Friends. So, I mean, for the language, and I don't understand the language. I'm not one of those guys who, you know, but it looked pretty clear to me that it was a violation.
Well, lastly, I think the whole thing is just disheartening and demoralizing, the two words that evidently Neil Gorsuch used in describing the president, sort of impugning the integrity of that one judge. I wonder what you guys think about this Supreme Court nominee pushing back on the president. That's probably the right thing for him to say, right? That I think that his stock goes up a little bit if he says something like
that. He said it in a meeting, well, I think with a few senators. Ben Sass, the Republican of Nebraska, said so, but it came out of a meeting with Richard Blumenthal, a Democrat out of Connecticut, and Trump or others were accusing Blumenthal of betraying a confidence, and Blumenthal said today, no, Gorsuch told me that I could share his viewpoints. I mean, that it was clear. And then Gorsuch's PR person released a statement supporting that he did, in fact, say that. So it was a sentiment that he wanted out
there. Well, the president has tweeted asking if, in fact, that's not a lie, and then said, remember, Blumenthal lied about his Vietnam record as well.
Right, but you got Gorsuch saying, no, it's not a lie.
At the end of the day, that doesn't matter. Blumenthal got elected, and that's not the point. The point is, did the Supreme Court nominee say this? And evidently he did. And
he confirmed that he said it, yeah.
So I guess that should be the end of it, but I don't think it is.
I think it plays well for Gorsuch.
Hugely well.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it's like it suggests that he has independence.
And how do you fight a guy as a Trump lackey if, you know, I mean, when's the last time you had a Supreme Court nominee contradict the person who nominated him or her?
Right. Well, that was the point. After the president went after the judge in Washington, we were worried about Trump sort of controlling the judiciary. Here's a guy already pushing back. That was the perfect thing for him to do.
Well, I haven't heard any serious people in the judiciary or even in the Republican Party defend his remark about so-called judges. I've heard them try to tap dance around it. But, I mean, that was really, to me, I when that happened, I thought that was one of the most ominous things that Trump has said.
I think even more ominous than that was his follow-up, Eric, when he said that if something bad happens, blame the judge. And I thought, no, the buck stops here, Mr. President. That's your responsibility, whatever happens under your watch.
So, somebody made the point that, the same week that this all happened, yet another little outrage that would have been like headlines all week if it had been a different administration was when they rolled back some of the laws that barred people with mental illness from getting guns.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I thought, I wish someone had come out and said, well, if anybody with a mental illness uses a gun, that's right. On you, President Trump. I thought it was a pretty startling thing for him to say, and I agree with
on
you.
On that happy note, it's time for our recommendations, things that we are reading, watching, listening to, or consuming that we want to recommend to our listeners. Anybody want to go first?
I'll go first. I just want to start by saying this is the best Mincing Rascals in 47 years.
That's a fake fact. That's fake news, Steve.
I've just been adrift in reading. I can't get into anything. And so the latest show I picked up is Shameless, which I think I'm six seasons late into.
American or British version?
American. I watched the British a couple years
ago. It's incomprehensible.
Yeah, right. It is.
My wife and I sat down, and like halfway through it, we're going, this might as well be in Dutch.
But the American version set in Chicago, so that's kind of fun. I've got six seasons to go. But
how many episodes have you watched?
I think six or so.
Okay, we're doing the same thing. We're about six episodes in.
No kidding, really.
Yeah.
What
Shameses.
Do you think? I like it. I like it a lot.
Oh, I think it's remarkable. It's very good.
I got to watch this. I feel like left out.
Did you get to the one where he hooks up with the woman who has the heart disease?
No.
Okay, let me know because that's in season two, actually.
Oh, so, yeah, she's agoraphobic, right?
No, that's Joan Cusack. That's
Joan
early
Cusack's
on.
Character. Okay. She is agoraphobic, but then he finds a better deal, so he's going to dump Joan Cusack, and he's going to hook up with this other lady because she has heart disease, a pension. She's going to die soon, so he tries to get her to fall for him, and then he'll take her pension away. The way that storyline plays out, Steve, there was a little line in the sand for me so far. I thought, why the hell do I care about this? Why am I watching this show? When you get to that one, let me know what you think about
it.
Because I recommended this series last week, and now I'm de-recommending it.
Whoa.
I may come back and recommend it yet again, but right now I'm mad at this series.
Which series?
The series that you're talking about, Shameless.
Did you recommend it last week?
Yes, I did. Last week or 2 weeks ago, I said, I'm really enjoying this show.
Look at the power you have over me. I didn't even realize that when we started watching it.
Yeah, it's possible I didn't do it, but I'm pretty sure I recommended it. Okay, so I'm unrecommending what Steve just recommended. Scott Stantis,
zero recommendations so far. We're at zero.
I just finished reading Crazy, George Harriman, A Life in Black and White by Michael Tizerand. And it is about George Harriman, who created the comic strip Crazy Cat.
I've heard about this.
He was born Creole. He was born half or a large percentage African and in Louisiana, moves to L.A. and all of a sudden becomes white. And this follows his life as he becomes one of the more important cartoonists in the 20th century. And so any novel that gets to number one bestseller on a number of lists featuring a cartoonist is Jake with me.
Boy, that's in your wheelhouse. How about you, Eric?
Well, I just have a local singer named Gia Margaret, G-I-A Margaret. I was having coffee with a friend the other day, and he said that he was really enthusiastic about her. She's just a local person. She works at the Old Town School behind the desk.
What kind of music?
She's just a sort of independent folk singer, songwriter. Beautiful, beautiful voice. Check out our YouTube stuff. Really wonderful.
Oh, and the name of that is?
Gia. G-I-A is her first name, and Margaret is her last name.
Maybe you could give us one other recommendation, Scott, because I know, or Eric, I know you know who I'm about to describe. Mary Schmeek wrote two Sundays ago about an artist that she really likes from the Old Town School. Do you know who I'm talking about? It's the guitarist who came out with some jazz standards, and it's just lovely music.
Oh, I think you're talking about Michael Miles.
Yes, I think I am.
The banjo player. Yeah, Michael Miles is terrific. He was in Songs of Good Cheer years ago, and then he moved on and left us behind. But, Michael Miles, he's a virtuoso on the banjo, and he plays, classical jazz pop standards.
Are you recommending this, John?
I am. Mary Wood did, and I went and downloaded it, gave him $10 of mine on the Internet, and it's just some really good music. And if Mary had a list of things to get away from what we've been talking about for the last 45
Mary
minutes.
Has these columns. She does, like, nine things I've liked lately.
Yes, exactly.
There's often some really good stuff in there. But sometimes things like I like green grass. Like, go for everything from a CD to some just phenomena that you experience in life. So.
And it works, too.
It does work.
That's okay, amazing. So that's it this week. Hey, Scott Stannis, thanks for helping us out today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Eric Zorn from the Chicago Tribune, Steve Bertrand from WGN Radio. I am John Williams. Remember now, we normally broadcast this podcast in part on a Saturday afternoon show at 1:30. We will now be moving to 10 to noon. I will be, and so the Mincing Rascals will be broadcast on WGN Radio Saturdays at 10:30 in the morning. Thanks to the producers of this segment, Kristen Decker and Craig Collins today. And that's, is that Benji on the other side of the glass?
It is.
Bertrand?
It is.
Sir, thank you for engineering this episode. Ben Cortez of the Mincing Rascals.
You little rascal, you! You little rascal, you!